ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् तन्नो दुर्गे प्रचोदयात् ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ओम सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः। For 2-3 classes, I've been repeating one thing. Just to make you understand clearly what Shankara Bhagavatpada presents in his commentary. In the very first chapter of the Brihadaranyakam itself, in each section, he presents very important discussion. And we thought we will take up those discussions and see one by one. And now we are stuck with this one important discussion on the creation, and which comes in the second section in terms of Ghata Bhashyam. So the teaching is not from the Upanishad. In the Upanishad, we find only one sentence. Naiveha kinchana idam asit. Mrityuna eva avritam asit. Naiva iha kinchana asit. Means, here nothing was there. Before the universe came into existence, nothing was here. Na iva iha asit. Naiva iha asit. Idam asit. This universe of forms, names and functions was not there before. When he says, it means nothing was there. But one more sentence following that, Mrityuna eva avritam asit. It was, nothing was there here means, it is not simply left, that sentence is not left alone. The another sentence following, Mrityuna eva idam avritam asit. This universe was not, nothing was there before. Why? Because it was covered. Avritam asit. What was covered? Avritam means covered. It was covered by what? Mrityuna. Mrityuhu here means karanam. So, karanena karyam avritam asit. This entire universe is the karyam, in effect. The universe constituted of forms, names and functions was there before, but it was covered by the cause. It was covered in cause, its cause, which means it was potentially there. And potentially there means it is not available for experience or perception, objectification. Therefore, it does not serve any purpose, not useful. Therefore, it will say it is as good as non-existent. So, the form which you are seeing now were not there before. The functions were also not there. The names also were not there. Which means these forms were not there before. Na eva asit. Which means, that is one sentence. And that is what is taken for discussion by Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada. Naiveha kinchana asit. Nothing was there before means it's easy for a person, other people of other schools of thought to take it as non-existence, which means it's easy for them to present their argument to say this universe was created newly, it was not there before. So the very word creation implies something which is brought into existence newly. The word the newly, that adverb implies what? It was not there before, it is newly created. That is why there are so many other schools of thought who all have their own different theories of creation. And always we see this fact, Vedanta never contradicts any of the school of thought which is involved in the, which presents the theory of creation. Why? Because Vedanta by itself does not have one theory of creation of its own. Why Vedanta does not have theory of creation of its own? Because Vedanta does not believe in the very creation. Not only believe, Vedanta very firmly asserts that there is no creation at all. Not only Vedanta says there is no creation at all, there is no destruction also. There is neither creation nor is there destruction of anything here. Which means this entire universe is only manifestation. So when there's a time when the universe is not there means it is potentially there. Potentially there means it is unmanifest. As a time the universe enjoys existence, when the universe is, means it is manifestation. There's manifestation. And here, in this context, we already said, mainly two important people are taken for discussion, not elaborately, but briefly, and then how Shankara Bhagavatpada refutes both these people of two different schools of thought. And I said, one is the Bauddha, the Yogacara Bauddha, known as Kshanika Vijnanavadi. See, by refuting the Kshanika Vijnanavadi himself, all other three schools of thought also, of Buddhism also, are refuted. Anyway, when they say, the Kshanika Vijnanavada is based on what? Nothing was there before. Shunyavadi is further developed is what? Kshanika Vijnanavadi. Therefore, nothing was there before means, for him, I explained very clearly in the last class also, Kshanika Vijnana, for a Kshanika Vijnanavadi, the person who is given to the only one thing, the temporary, momentary existence of cognitions, obtaining in the form of thoughts. Momentary, he is given to the understanding of the existence of cognitions or perceptions, obtaining in the form of thoughts, and which are momentary. Which means, the cognitions rise, perceptions rise, mouth thoughts, they remain and resolve immediately, which means they are momentary. And apart from that, so anything I experience in the world is actually nothing but the varieties of various constantly fast moving cognitions in the form of thoughts. That alone is there. What is there for Kshanika Vijnanavadi? There are only series of constantly rising, remaining, resolving cognitions or perceptions in the form of thoughts. Apart from this, there is no tangible, gross, corresponding universe outside. Okay, for him, everything is kshanikam. Everything is momentary. If you talk about the observer or the knower, for him, knower is momentary. Nowhere is momentary. And then, momentary cognition. The knowledge is momentary cognition, perception is momentary cognition, and then, object just as what? Momentary cognition only. So, even if we say, there must be a cause for the effect to come into existence. How can there be an effect without the cause? If we say, there must be karanam for the karyam to be there. And he will say, there is neither karanam nor is the effect. There is only temporary existence of cognitions, momentary existence of cognitions. That is why when the thoughts rise, the waking state, everything shines here. Again, the thoughts resolve, everything resolves, which means where is the world? Therefore, the only cognitions are there for him. And for him, the support is, he uses his own dream also. The dream itself as an example. In the dream also we have experience of objects, and the gross objects, tangible objects, but still, even though the experience of the objects is there in the dream, they are all only intangible cognitions, that's all. Really speaking, intangible cognitions of thoughts alone and of tangible objects in the word dream. Similarly, this tangible gross universe which experience in the dream waking state also nothing but intangible cognitions only. In fact, he doesn't even talk about the tangible world at all. For him, there is no tangible gross objects outside. They are only cognitions. He is 100% sure. Where is the universe? Thoughts are not there. Universe is not there. So for him, there is no observer. There is no observation. There is no observed. Everything is momentary cognition. Kshanika vijnanam only is there for him. This we already told, it's not something new. But what I want to say today is, so which means the next point he says is, therefore that means he cannot talk about the cause, he cannot talk about the effect also. There is no cause or effect. This neither cause nor effect means, even if we talk about the two factors, there is a clay, and there's a clay which is the karanam, and there's also pot which is the karyam. You have to talk about the same clay which I see and the lump of clay I see in the form of the pot again. The clay which is seen in the form of a lump is seen in the form of a pot later on, which means before there was clay and later on it is in the form of the pot, which means what exists before the pot is the form, is the cause, and what exists in the form of a pot is the effect, the clay. And the same, that there is a clay which was there before, continues to exist in the same pot. Which means we have to say what, when we talk about the cause and why should we talk about the cause and the effect? Only when we talk about the cause and the effect, we can talk about the continuity of existence. Understand? I'm repeating today. Don't think I'm simply repeating. I repeat so many times these factors, but what is the subtle point I'm making you to see? If the person refuses to accept the existence of the cause and the effect, he cannot understand the continuity of the existence. There is a lump of clay. Example we'll take. There's a lump of clay and it doesn't serve any purpose. And it is this clay obtaining the lump form is the cause, and this undergoes a change, and there comes what? The form, pot, the effect, and which serves a purpose, which is useful. The useless lump of clay, okay, even original lump of clay, we never say useless, okay? Very careful, okay? The original lump of clay, and then useful pot, clay in the form of a pot. Useful clay in the form of a pot. Which means the clay was before, the clay, what was not there before was, the cause also was there before, effect also was there before. This is the Vedantin's argument. Okay, please listen carefully. According to him, neither clay was there before, nor pot is there later on. according to a Kshanika Vijnanavadi, clay also was not there before. Pot also is not there later. Cause also is not there. Effect also is not there. Then what is there? According to him, there is a clay cognition obtaining in the form of a thought and disappears. Again, fresh new cognition of the pot comes. Understand? There is no connection between the clay cognition and the pot cognition. Please listen carefully. There is no connection between clay cognition and the pot cognition. They are two different cognitions, which comes and goes. When the clay cognition is, that's all. There is no clay, real clay outside. When the pot cognition comes, there is only pot cognition. There is no pot outside. Okay. And if at all we say, no, the clay which we have seen before is again seen in the pot. If we say, therefore what? It is not momentary. The same clay which is seen before, it continues again, it is seen in the pot. Only the form is different. The substance is the same. We are seeing the same substance. If we say, what will he say? No, it is not continuity of the clay, what was seen before and what is seen now. Actually, the similar clay, okay, the clay which we saw as lump is different. And now again, the clay you see in the form of a pot is what? Exactly similar one, similar new one. Not the same. Which means he believes only in the similarity of the objects, similarity of the cognitions. He does not believe in the continuity of the anything here. Therefore, there is no cause, there is no effect. But here, and to even if he says there's no continuity of the clay, cause, therefore there's no cause, therefore they can't, there's no effect also. But here Shankar Bhagavatpada uses one thing. Even if we accept, let us accept your own view. Okay, the what was seen before as clay was different clay. Now what is seen as the clay in the form of a pot is a different one. A similar clay. What was previously we saw the clay, and a similar clay is seen again in the form of a pot. Even if you say, even for you to say it is similar, the observer of the similarity must be there. What is? Just some small, tiny, nothing is newly taught here today. I make you see this, okay? The observer of the similarity. You must have been seen yesterday, you saw different clay. Oh, yesterday saw not the same clay, the similar clay is today. How can anybody talk about a similarity? To talk about the continuity also, there must be an observer, the person who continues to be there. To talk about the similarity also, what? There must be an observer. Isn't it? And you say, this observer or the similarity must be different. Therefore, naiveha idam naivedam asit means, don't take it as cause, is neither cause nor effect. There is a cause. There is a cause and which undergoes a change, and there is an effect also. There's a cause, there is an effect. For definitely there is a cause. Already it was there before. Already everything was there before. The universe was already there. Cause means what? You have to, just to say first of all, because nothing was there, you can't say. Initially you have to understand this. they was there. It means the universe is not created. So clay also is not created, the pot also is not created. That's what our argument. Vedanta's argument is cause and effect, nothing is created. Everything was there before. And for both cause and the effect, only Adhishtanam is the observer consciousness, the reality. Isn't it? Therefore, so he, the observer, for the continuous existence of the observer is the continuous observer of the existence is the reality, the consciousness. And here he had to say, and that is possible even for a person to talk about the similarity, there must be what? There must be the connection between the past and the present. So you have to, until you link the past with the present, you can't talk about the similarity also. So connecting the past with the present or the present with the past, which presupposes what? Recognition. Isn't it? You're recognizing something, whether it continues to be there or similar to what it was before, is what? Recognition pratyabhijnanam. It's called pratyabhijnanam. For the pratyabhijnanam, for the recognition to be there, the recognizer must be continuously there. The continuity of the cognitions may be kshanika, okay, momentary, but the recognizer, the cognizer is there continuously. That is why recognition is possible. Okay, the cognizer continues to be there, seeing the cognitions moving momentarily, fast moving cognitions, because of which recognition is possible. So pratyabhijnanam, recognition, is the proof because of which, in which alone, the past can be presented to the, connected to the present, which means the continuous existence of something, and that is the source. That is the source. There is a cause, definitely, for this universe. How can, if the universe is the effect, means it can come out of nothing. So there is a karanam. So karana astitvam is established by Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada by using this one expression, pratyabhijnanam. Is it clear? Pratyabhijnanam is used, recognition. He makes it very clear. He refutes this kshanika vijnanavadi. And the next thing, he goes, the next person he refutes this Ghatapasham is this Nayayakaha, the Nyaya philosopher. And even though I said many, the last class also explained, for him, he accepts the cause, but he doesn't accept the effect. Karyam is not there. Okay, clay was there before, we can accept, but definitely pot was not there before. Which means pot is made newly. So in fact, the form also, the karyam also was not created newly. It was also there before. So then the form, the effect, which is there in potential form, is not available for use, is brought into manifestation, brought into useful condition, is called manifestation. Is not creation. And for which he says, is exactly like the objects remain objects which are covered in darkness. You turn the light on, then objects shine. The dark, which means what is that which prevents the object from being seen? What which covers the object is the darkness, isn't it? The idea is avritam. All the objects are there. Nothing is created, means all the forms along with their names and the purposes they serve remain covered. Okay? And what the covering aspect is called what? Obstacle. Isn't it? Obstacle there. So the covering means avaranam. So there's the avaranam. The avaranam is the cause. Avaranam is removed, then what is covered shines. Avrunoti karanam avrunoti karyam avriyate avritam asti. The cause covers, the effect is covered. Cause covers, effect is covered. The cover is removed, no, the effect shines. So in reference to this dark room, objects which are kept in the dark room, the darkness is what? The cover. The light comes, the avaranam is removed, all the objects shine. Nothing is created there. This is what he wants to say. Just by saying the light is turned on means what that which covers is what? Removed. And they shine. But here again the example comes. He'll ask the question. Okay, objects kept in the light, the darkness, light is turned on, it shines. Fine. Suppose if we keep if the wood is kept in the darkness, you turn the light on, will there be table? Wood is kept in darkness, and the light turn the light on, will there be table? No. Idea is, yes, example should be understood as example. Light only removes the obstacle that covers. Okay? That which covers is the obstacle. The darkness covers and the light removes the darkness, it shines. In the same way, in the wood also, table is covered, the form table, along with its name and the purpose it serves, is covered. And the, okay, what covers? Remove that. What does the carpenter do? Please remember, take now. What does the carpenter do? He only removes certain things, in a, what covers the form. Do you see this? The carpenter, does he create the table? He does not create the wood. The wood is there already. What does the carpenter do? He only removes what covers that form. Removal of what covers a given form is what? Bringing the form into manifestation. It is not creation. Removing that which covers is bringing the form into manifestation. It is not creation. Whether the pot maker making the pot, the carpenter making the table, or a goldsmith making the ornament, they all what they do, they do not create anything here. They only bring the already cover form, existing form, which is covered. They just by removing what it covers, they bring them into manifestation. Is it clear? So, because the Shankara gives example, doubt may come. First example is given, the dark room, everything is, all the opaque things kept in the dark room. Are as well as non-existent, they do not shine. And what prevents them from shining is the darkness. So, andhakaraha avrunoti. Andhakarena vastuni avrutaha bhavanti. Avriyante. All of them are covered in darkness. So, light does not create objects. Light only removes that which covers. And it obviously shines. The same logic is, not that light brings the one to shine. What covers has to be removed. The covering has to be removed, isn't it? The cover has to be removed. So, in with reference to all these things also, whether the goldsmith or the pot maker or the carpenter, all of them, they do not create anything newly. They only bring the beautiful forms which are already there in what? Potential forms. The forms are always there potentially. There are potential forms and potential condition. Potential means they are not useful, not perceptible, not enjoyable, not differentiated also. Not differentiated, isn't it? The potential, the forms and potential form are not differentiated, not useful, not available for objectification or experience or enjoyment. But does not mean they are non-existent. Because they are not useful, mistaken for non-existence. And what potential means, they remain, they are covered. Unmanifest means they are covered. What is covering? What which covers them, isn't it? So, that covering, what covers is removed, and then they shine. So, avarana nivrittihi, okay? This removal of that which covers. Removal of that which covers is bringing the forms along with their names and functions into manifestation. Do you see the subtle thing? I'm repeating same old thing for the past few weeks. So carpenter does the same. Goldsmith does the same. Pot maker does the same. Removal of that which covers is bringing into manifestation, not a creation. Therefore, the forms are already there in potential form, potential condition. Nothing is created. So, karanam asit, karyam api asti. Before the creation itself, the cause is there, effect also is there. So, before also, the cause is there, effects are there. And after the, before it is there, potential form. So before the creation, potential form. And after the destruction also, the forms continues to be in what? Potential form. In between, they are manifest. Therefore, but when they are manifest, they are useful. When they are unmanifest in potential condition, they are not useful. So useful, when they're useful means only temporary. Temporarily useful, again they become potential. That is how it is. But it is nothing is created here. And one more thing, the next point he puts it is, if we say a clay was, pot was not there, and then the pot which was not there, the pot maker is going to make it. No? Which means the pot maker will bring the pot into existence. which means the part was not there before is going to come into existence newly, means the non-existent part is going to come. What subject here? Is going to come, the sentence, object, what is it which is going to come? Non-existent part. So, non-existent thing can never become the subject in a sentence which has a verb. Isn't it? Puram yad na asit itah param bhavishyati. Before it was not there, it is going to become, going to come later on, means it is going to come is what? Come. Going to come is a verb, and which means what is going to come? The non-existent part. Is going to come means this, the sentence has a non-existent thing as a subject. A non-existent thing cannot become the subject of a, in a sentence with the verb. It's called vipratishedaha. Okay, it cannot be there. Vipratishedaha is not possible. It means vipratishedaha means actually opposition. It is not possible. It is something opposed. Not possible. Therefore, this is one thing. And also, what is going to be in future must be already there in the present. The part is going to come means it must be already there here. The part is already there. It's going to come. Part was already there. It is now. What was there is now. What is now is going to be there again in future. Which means there's no such, there's a continuous existence of this jagat, the cause, either in potential form or in manifest form. When the same form, even it is in potential form, we call it karanam. When it is manifest form, we call it effect. One thing alone in potential form is called cause, in manifest form is called effect. Two different qualifications are attributed. In potential form, a given thing is called cause. In manifest form, it's called effect. The clay in a lump form is cause. The clay in a pot form is effect. Again, you suppose it's a play dough. No? Again, you squeeze it. Again, destroy it. Again, make another form. So, one given thing. So, you can't have a clump form and a pot form cannot coexist. The clump has to undergo change to become the pot. Again, the play dough. Again, destroy the pot. Again, make a lid. Again, destroy it. Again, you make it what? Again, bring it as a one clump, small ball of clay. Again, make something, play toy. Which means, one, the same time, the clump, isn't it, the lump of clay and the pot cannot coexist. Lump has to undergo change for the pot to be there. Again, pot has to undergo change. I'm talking about play dough, okay? Again, change, again to become some other form. Which means, when this is a lump in one form, other form is what? Unpotential form. Unpotential. And it undergoes a change. It's a manifest means. So manifest form is effect. Potential form is the cause. It's a continuously, it is there. Doesn't undergo any change. Isn't it? Which means nothing is created here. Therefore, even if we say this from the non-existent alone has come into existence, if we say again, non-existent becomes subject of the sentence, it's also not possible. Isn't it? This is one important thing. Then we say, here, there is existence. Always there is existence. we talk about the absolute existence and talk about the relative existence. In the relative existence also, what we say here, this actual real existence, and there is existence, the functional existence. Okay, functional existence. When the pot is there, pot serves a purpose, it is useful, is it? When pot is there, it's a functional existence. There's a chain, you can wear it, it's what? It has functional existence. The table is there, you can use it. The chair is there, use it, it's a functional existence. What about the wood? Wood also is what? There is existence of the chair, isn't it? But it's what? Actual existence. It's called Swarupa Satta. Swarupa Satta. Swarupa Satta means what? The original existence. When the table is not there, the form, the functional existence is not there, but still its original form is there. Swarupa Satta is always there. The pot is functional existence, and the pot is not there, the clay is there, which is Swarupa Satta. It remains as its own form. So always the functional existence, actual existence. The functional existence is what? Temporary. So before the creation, there is potential existence, which is Swarupa Satta. Again, the pot, after the destruction of the pot, creation of the pot, destruction of the pot, before and after, there is potential, original, actual, real existence. In between, functional existence, which is temporary. And when is functional existence? When there is manifestation, there is functional existence. In potential condition, original existence, actual existence. You get what I'm saying? Does it make any sense? We're talking the simple examples. From here, you have to stretch it to what? Whole jagat. Example sounds very clear. Pot, before the creation, pot is potential clay, and it is functional existence. Again becomes what? Actual existence. So, Swarupa Satta, then Karya Satta. Isn't it? So, we say this. So, relative and absolute. Therefore, that does not mean when there is manifestation, we call it functional. In potential condition, we said original existence. There is never non-existence. Okay? There is never non-existence. And one more thing we have to say. This is the second point. Okay? Vipratisheda. After this, the third one. Next point he makes is, when he presents, he talks about these all different types of abhavas. Pragabhava, Pradhamsa Bhava, Anyonya Bhava, or Atyanta Bhava, he talks about it. There, see, when he talks about Anyonya Bhava means, he is actually difference between the things. That how the door is different from the window is different from the wall, means there is difference. There is difference amidst things. Difference among the forms, names and functions. All the forms are not the same. All the functions are not the same. All the names are also not the same. Because difference in forms results in what? There's a difference in names also. The names are different because the forms are different. The forms are different, therefore the functions, the purposes they serve also are different. The differences are, not a difference is, differences are. Therefore, we say this difference is something very positive aspect according to Nayayikas. Difference is positive. Difference is not something negative for them. If difference is not negative, something positive, why? Because difference enjoys existence. When you say difference is, difference enjoys what? Existence. The same thing Shankar Bhagavad Pada says here. If difference is positive aspect for you, when you say pot is not is what? Is not is what? Okay, you talk about the prior existence, pragabhavaha, and pradvamsabhava, existence, non-existence after the destruction. Pot is not there after it is broken, it is not there. Pot was not there before the pot was made. Was not there means what? Who says was not there? Who says who is not there again afterwards? The existence is, isn't it? Existence, non-existence is, you say, isn't it? Difference is means non-existence is. Is it clear? Non-existence is means non-existence enjoys existence. Isn't it clear? And that existence is what? The existence, what you say. Okay, according to us, there's not non-existence at all. Because you talk about the non-existence, that non-existence also must enjoy existence, or you can't talk about non-existence. Means that is Swarupa Satta. Okay? That is the actual existence. he goes on to their own point. If a difference is positive for you, the same, actually we are going to say difference also not there for us. Non-existence is what? Existence is non-existence. Is means non-existence is also what? Enjoys existence. You cannot talk about something which enjoys existence. Which means that existence is what? Pure existence, which is the Swarupa Satta. And the pure existence is what? No. Consciousness, which is the truth, which is what? The only material and the intelligent causes of the universe. Okay, therefore, this universe was never created. It was always there. And this non-existent, what we say is only relative. Absolutely, there is no non-existence at all. Which means, whatever abhava, in whatever form you talk about this non-existence, before it was not there, after destruction its effect is not there, or in one thing the different other thing is not there, or absolutely there is non-existent, absolute non-existence existence of things like, you know, the rabbit's horn, etc. In fact, we can never talk about the non-existence at all. Absolutely. If at all we talk about non-existence, it's relative. Absence is relative. Non-existence is relative. What is absolutely, that is pure existence, and which is pure knowledge. And here, in Vedanta Shastram, the absolute, the universe is not there means, it's called Mahapralayaha. And Mahapralayaha is what? Parambrahma. Parambrahma means the pure existence. When not, see what other people say, Shunyavada says nothing is there means that nothingness is said to be what? Parambrahma. Absolute reality in terms of pure existence, which is pure knowledge. Universe is not there means pure knowledge, pure existence is. Pure knowledge is, which is Brahma, Parambrahma, Nirgunam Brahma. What a big difference. When the universe is not there, what is? Nothing is there. For the other people say nothing is there. What Vedanti says? Parambrahma alone is. It's called Mahapralayaha. When the universe is not there, Mahapralayaha. Mahapralaya means what? Total dissolution. Total deluge means all the forms, names and functions, they lost their status of being existent, remain as one undifferentiated, unmanifest, pure knowledge. And that pure knowledge is what? We otherwise called pure existence. Swarupa Satta. Does it make sense for you? It is actual, original existence. Big difference. Again, when the whole universe is, you say what? What was potentially there, what was there as pure existence, now is here with what? As manifest existence. As manifestation of existence means manifestation of knowledge is manifestation of existence. And this manifestation, and there is what? Existence, functional existence of forms, names and functions. In manifestation there's functional existence, in pure knowledge it's a potential existence. And only thing is, what covers, removal of that which covers, is bringing the form into manifestation, which is called creation. There is no real new creation of anything. Is it clear? The few things I want to say regarding what I've been talking to you for the past 2-3 classes. The same old thing I repeated, just to make one small thing clear, again repeated today. Is it clear? Any doubts? I give time now. Separately, we already, I've talked to you about it. See, because of the abstractness of the truth. See, thought, cognition, obtaining in the form of thought itself is very, very subtle. Inexplicably subtle. That's why when people try without the Shastra Pramanam on their own, meditation, all that, they arrive at even this far. What when people do not accept the Shastra Pramanam independently when they try? They're all like atheists. Buddhas are Nastikaha. They don't accept Veda. So on their own, but will again it's an Indian, even the Buddha is not a, again it's not something outside of India, isn't it? Again same thinking. So their own thinking, they come up to this thought. They could not go beyond on their own from the thought. Now because we are using Shastram, we can say consciousness. Without the Shastra Pramanam, by their own thinking, with their own efforts, they crush their intellect, they come means they came up to this point, they had to get stuck. They can't see the... That is why in science also, any amount of discovery within the realm of science, see, you try to understand what is here, what is this, what is this. Nothing wrong. It's all within the realm of the matter, ignorance only. Any discovery in science, what only within the realm of the matter, which is within the realm of ignorance. Isn't it? Because only when you start questioning who is the one who wants to know, that is where we can arrive at the truth. See, they only try to, you know, meditation and vipassana and all these things. It's okay. I'm not belittling any of this methodology, technique, meditation technique. It will give some result. But what it cannot help you is, no activity, no meditation will ever help you remove the ignorance. It is the Shastra Pramanam which tells you. It gives you understanding. Even that is why, where is it said otherwise? You come up to the cognition, you have to stuck there. Leave the Nyaya person. Come up to the cognitions. And it is true. Oh, when the cognitions resolve, and the world also disappears. The cognitions rise, world appears. Therefore, where is the world by itself? It's only cognitions. If the world can be without the cognitions also, then I can say world is. That is what his argument is. In a way, it is true. The thoughts must be there for the world to be there. That does not mean the world is created newly. Because the world is dependent on the cognitions. Isn't it? What is a cognition? Manifestation of knowledge obtaining in the form of a thought is what? Vritti jnanam, which is cognition. For the world to enjoy the status of being existent. If the world does not have the capacity to, is it, the world being matter. The world, matter of which undergoing changes. Doesn't matter. The matter and its change. Both are dependent on what? Depend on the manifestation of knowledge for its existence. So without the manifestation of knowledge, the world which will lose states of being existent, means it is as good as non-existent. The world can never, world being the matter along with this nature of changing, will never have the existence independently. Never can the world enjoy existence independently. That is why I say it is of the nature of inertness. If the world, the matter has consciousness of its own. It has capacity to reveal persons by itself. This is a different thing, isn't it? Why do you call it matter? Why do you say it is inert? The definition of the inertness must be very clear. That which does not have the knowledge of existence of itself is matter, inert. It's very important to understand what is inertness. That which does not have knowledge of existence of itself is inert. That is why even though you are alive, still your physical body is inert. It is as inert as this non-living table. The live tree's trunk is as inert as the, you know, inert wood. A piece of wood in the form of a table or chair. So your own physical body, we are alive now. It's very difficult for you to accept now. Oh my God, my body is inert. Yes. Your body is inert. I'm alive. You're living, conscious being. Not an ordinary, like a buffalo or an animal. You're a self-conscious being. Still your physical body is inert. Your body has the nature of inertness. Why do you say? Because it does not have the knowledge of existence of itself. There is no knowledge in the part of the body in terms of I am the body. vision, every time you do anything, it will report to you, isn't it? You say, come on, you go, let me stay back home. The body will say that to you. Like how you used to say, the pumpkin has, no? If it has that self-consciousness, you know, when you cut and bring it, a half the way it will jump and run away from you, roll away. Same way, wherever you go, it comes being dragged. Why? It has no independent, it is off the nature of inertness. Live body, but still it is inert. This is what understand, the entire matter and is also undergoing changes, and the matter, it with this nature of undergoing changes, is dependent on the manifestation of knowledge, obtaining in the form of thoughts as vritti jnanam, cognition, for world to come into existence, to enjoy the status of being existent. The world is lent existence. The world borrows its existence. Okay? It's not literally giving and borrowing. I'm just saying, which means it has no independent existence, even though it is not created. A manifestation of knowledge is what? Obtaining from a thought, which is possible because there is source of manifestation. How can that be manifestation if there is no source of manifestation? Is it clear? And so what is the source of manifestation is something missed by other people, especially Kshanika Vijnana Vahadi. Because why? Why it is not possible? Because you need the pramanam. You need a means of knowledge. You deny the pramanam. And you use your own. That's why they're great people. They're not ordinary people. And Shankara Bhagavatapada, in fact, makes use of them also. So it is easy, isn't it? Somebody paves way to go that far. And from there you can speak up, isn't it? That doesn't mean Shankara Bhagavatapada follows them. Already, Advaita vision is already there, timeless wisdom for us in Upanishad. It is not newly established by Adishankara Bhagavatapada. Isn't it? Because the pramanam is there, you can stop the person from there, isn't it? The source of manifestation, you talk about Kshanika Vijnanam, and what is Kshanika Vijnanam? What is this Kshanika Vijnanam? What is the source of this Vritti Jnanam? That they can, because you never inquire the enquirer. All enquiry is within the realm of what is known to you. And what is known for a gross minded is only external objects. A subtle minded, it goes up to the cognitions. This is known, subtle. And you can think, oh, when the cognitions rise, the world enjoys existence. Cognitions is all, the world disappears. Why should I consider this world at all? No, the world is not there. Only cognitions are there. And the cognitions are not the same. They come and go, therefore momentary. But Shankara Bhagavatapada has to go one step further to say what? The cognitions come, cognitions go, and you must be there for watching what? Witnessing the arrival of cognitions, existence of cognitions, and the resolution of cognitions. Isn't it? You must be there. There must be somebody. And what is that? That is what is the truth. That is what is the reality. And why does the reality watch? Why does it witness? Why does it know? That again is its nature. Why does it know? That is how reality can be. That is why we say, that is what is what? What is that which is there always? Is the Swarupa Satta. The actual, original, real, pure existence, which is of the nature of knowing, your knowledge, and that is what is implied by the term Brahma. Therefore, non-existence of universe means pure existence. Manifest existence means functional existence in terms of the forms, names and functions. The universe, which is constituted of forms, names and functions. Okay? The functional existence means the universe of forms, names and functions. We call it Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma. Is it clear? Unmanifest universe means, in their language, non-existence universe means, it is not non-existence, it is pure existence, pure knowledge, Param Brahma, which is potential universe. Where universe is potential form. Actual existence. When the universe is manifest, it's a existence, functional existence, which is Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma. We have Brahma Nirgunam, we have Brahma Sagunam. We have Param Brahma, we have Ishvara. There is no non-existence for us. There is no ignorance. If at all anything is not, if we say, that is relative. Is and is not, we can say what? Is not is relative for us. Is it clear? I think I made it very clear. I am very clear. I wish I made it very clear to you. Doesn't matter. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. I will go to the next point. Next week I won't continue this. Okay? Finished. Next week go to a new topic.
Ishwari Swarya, I have a question. I find it difficult to believe how animals can be inert because they don't have cognition of their existence, do they?
No. I didn't say that. No. Animals are not in it.
Yeah.
I didn't say animals are in it. I said all the forms are in it. Animals, I tell you one thing, what it is. All the forms are, I explained to you, in what is in it, how to understand inertness. Inertness means anything which does not know, which does not have existence of its own self, is inert. Okay? When I say your body is inert, animal body is also inert. Non-living thing also inert. Live being is also inert.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yes.
That's why everything is inert only here. And what is not inert, isn't it, is consciousness. That's why ahankara is also inert. The knowledge I am obtaining, this is a subtle form, thought form, is also inert. So that which is inert is matter, we say. And what cannot be, what distinguished from the inert matter, which is the inertness, is pure consciousness. That's all. See, very subtle. That's what I'm saying, very difficult to accept for you. To say your own physical body is inert. That's why I said your own physical body is inert means what? Any form is inert here. Every object is inert. See, yad rupam, yad drishyate tad mithya, tad jadam. Yad yad drishyam tad tad jadam. Anything which is seen, which is objectified, which is perceived, is an object. An object is inert. Anything known is inert, finished. Anything known is inert. This I made very clear when in Mandukya Upanishad. Yad drishyam tad jadam. Anything which is known is inert. Whatever you see, you hear, everything is jadam only. The known is inert means perceived is inert. Isn't it? The object is inert. Entire universe, including the ahankara, is what? Object of knowledge, objective universe is jadam. That's why anatma prapanchaha jadaha. The entire universe is jadaha, you say. First you say jadaha, then you say what now? First you say inert, then you say no matter at all. Everything is manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear? Then you negate it. It is not there. Why? It can't be said. We can't say inert. First, initially you understand the inertness of the universe. What is it? Understand? Why? To distinguish the reality as pure consciousness. Exactly like you distinguish the light from all the opaque things. Then you say light and opaque. Similarly, consciousness and matter. The matter in innumerable countless forms doesn't matter. Reduce all the forms, names and functions. One word, matter. Okay. Then you say, this matter, in the form of all the forms, they shine. It shines because of what? Blessing of the consciousness in the form of very presence. Presence of consciousness is a blessing, anugraha. It can't be counted as a parallel reality, therefore we say mithya. The mithya means it is not second thing, therefore that which shines is also what? Reflection of the light, isn't it? Then you say what? Similarly, the whole inert matter, we don't call it inert matter. In the scientist, it's only inert matter. For Vedanti, everything is manifestation of consciousness. Big difference. I think I made very clear. Haven't I?